And Carol, if you'd like to go ahead and call the meeting to order.
Okay, it's 2:01. I'll go ahead and call this council meeting to order. I'll go ahead with roll call. I know Donna Shaw isn't probably here, but I'll say Donna Shaw anyway, and you can record no answer. Hope Kasten. Kyla Waltermeyer.
Here.
Ada Bird. Miranda Shake.
Here.
Sandy West.
Here.
Danielle Cornelius. Deb Sherrick.
Here.
Sarah Hill.
Here.
Don Taylor. And Carol Zeese. I'm here.
Okay, so the first item that we have today is the approval of minutes from the April 18th budget review meeting. Has everybody had a chance to review those?
So the next move would be, if there's no comment, we just go ahead and make a motion. Do I call for a motion to approve? Okay, I'll make a motion to, or ask for a motion to approve those minutes from April 18th.
I so move.
This is Miranda. I can second that.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call.
Well, I have to roll call for the approval then?
We have to roll call for everything for a virtual meeting. Yep.
Okay. So do I do that or do you?
I can do it, Carol.
Okay. Okay. Just let me know what I need to do.
Okay, sure. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Deb Sherrick?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
And Carol Zeese?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so the first item that we have on the agenda is actually the president and vice president for next fiscal year. And so that'll start in August. Donna is ending her term. Let me check this. And then so she it's a 1 year term, and then the vice president would step in for the next fiscal year. Carol is actually our vice president, but her term is ending.
Yeah.
And so I apologize that I didn't catch that last year when we were going through this. So we do need a president and a vice president for this next fiscal year. Do I have anybody that would like to volunteer for that?
Cassandra, I'm more than happy to serve in any capacity that you need. So.
Okay, so I would love for Sandy to, since she spoke up first, to be president for this next year. Do we have anybody that would be willing to step in as vice president? And I know this is really tough because Miranda and Kyla will not be on the committee next year. So that, or Carol, actually, now that I'm looking
right.
at it. So we could certainly, Sandy, since you have volunteered, we could list you as president, and then we could maybe carry this conversation open over to next meeting as we have more people that are now joining us as well. Do you think that would work?
Perfect for me.
Okay. Would somebody like to make a motion to nominate Sandy as our executive council president for this next fiscal year?
I can make that motion. It's Miranda.
Thank you, Miranda. Do we have a second?
I'll second. This is Carol. Oh, two of us.
I heard Carol first, so I'll go ahead and list you as the second. Okay, we'll do a roll call. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Deb Sherrick?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
And Carol Zeese?
Yes.
Great. Thank you, everybody. So this next portion is one item that's an action item, and then just FYI for some of the other items. For the fiscal 2025, we have the openings. So we do have an opening for a large public library representative. I have that prepared to go out for member vote. And so I wanted to check in with the committee. Several years ago, we started simplifying the vote, for lack of a better word, so that instead of having to go out to all members, things that affected certain segments of members would be only sent to them. So changes in cataloging policy, for example, are only sent out to cataloging libraries for vote. So I wanted to get feedback, because it is the large public library representative, would we only send that out to large public libraries for the vote? Or should it be sent out to membership as a whole?
Cassie, was that official policy that was adopted, or was it more of a recommendation?
It was an official policy, yes.
Well, then that seems like it kind of answers the question.
I wanted to bring it to the committee for guidance before I made an assumption, just because even though they are representing large public libraries, I just wanted to make sure that the committee, that was acceptable to the committee, that it was not going out to everyone.
I think that's, I mean, in my understanding, that's the way even Carly works. So like, if you're a small 2-year university, there's a difference there. So they only send things that are only for voting purposes to those specific types of organizations. So I don't necessarily see a vote for a university when I'm on the Carly side of things. So I think that makes sense here also.
Okay. So for transparency purposes, I think I would prefer this to be an action item that the committee votes that's how we're going to address it. And then that way we'll have it in the minutes for, future
clarification.
Future clarification if we ever needed to come back to that. There's a precedent. So I would entertain a motion to send the for the fiscal 2025 for the large public library representative to send that to the large public libraries for vote.
This is Sandy. So moved.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Deb Sherrick.
Okay.
For discussion, there, how many large libraries do we actually have?
A handful. If you give me just a second, I can tell you exactly. We, at one point, probably up until 3 years ago, I think, we only had one, and that was Decatur. And it's based on population. And so that did change when we changed the threshold for population. And so we have 9.
So I don't necessarily want to vote against the policy. I want to uphold the policy that was approved. Is the reason you're asking is because there might be concern that that's a relatively small number of people to decide a seat?
Yeah. And so, again, that's why I felt like it was kind of a gray area, because even though they are going to be the large public library representative, their vote will impact all of membership. And so I wasn't sure how you guys, if you wanted to handle it that way. And the reasoning for why I would prefer to do it of just large public libraries is to get all of our members to actually vote, and to get a majority of our members to vote can be extremely difficult. And so it's definitely a convenience thing, and I can see where it would be applicable because they are representing large public libraries.
Okay,
is any other questions or discussion? Okay, hearing none, then I will go ahead and do another roll call. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Miranda Sheik?
Yes.
Deb Sherrick?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
And Carol Zeiss?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, so the next few items are just informational. So this is, like I had mentioned, several of you, it'll be your last meeting this meeting. And so we're so thankful for you for the time and that you have put in for in all of your roles, because of course, Miranda and Kyla also being chairs of other committees. And Carol, I know that you also participate on other committees as well as being the large public library representative. But we do have some changes. So the Finance and Policy Committee chair starting in July will be Betsy Mahoney. The e-resources committee, we did have someone that was interested in chairing that committee, but unfortunately they've, due to other obligations, have had to step back. And so that is going to be decided. We have somebody that is interested. And so that will happen in September. And then I do have some unfortunate news that Emily Enderly, I don't know if any of you here know her, but she has had to, she is no longer with the Scott Air Force Base Library due to some health concerns. She's unfortunately in hospice right now. And it's just a very terribly sad situation. And so she did, had thought that she was going to be able to continue at Scott, but needed to step back. Unfortunately, she is no longer with Scott either. So if any of you know her, you might, you know, want to reach out and just send her well wishes. So that is just some information that we have for what we're looking at for next fiscal year. For the special library representative, we just don't have a lot of people that's not a very large pool. So I don't imagine that we'll get more than just one or two volunteers. But again, we'll probably go that same route of just having the special libraries vote on that if we do have more than one volunteer. So I think that's all we had for our makeup of our committee for the Share Executive Council. At the next meeting, we generally like to go over the meeting date and time to make sure that this is still working for all of the new, for all of you all, but also the new committee members as well. So next up on our agenda, we do have an automatic material handler system update with Colleen.
Hello. Yep, I just kind of wanted to go over, in general, the automatic material handling system timeline, and then I out the guidelines late yesterday that we are proposing for revision. I'm sure many of you saw the email that we sent out with the general timeline, as to be expected with any large project like this. Until we get vendor negotiations and contracts signed, we do not know the definite details and dates on all this kind of stuff. But we wanted to give something to membership because I know there's a lot of questions regarding when dates will occur and when, you know, what kind of details we'll need to figure out. So I would like to encourage everyone to sign up. We did announce yesterday in the member connection the next special AMHS member question and answer that will be held on July the 10th at 10 o'clock a.m. And it will be recorded for member libraries who are not able to attend. We have the same form like we did last time with submitting your questions in advance. And I encourage you to, if there's any member libraries, if you're talking to anyone and there's a specific concern about things, please submit the questions there through that channel. So that's our way of kind of, I already have my own list of like things I've heard from people. And when I individually talk to member libraries, But I don't monitor the director's listserv chat. I did hear that there were a lot of questions on that, and I'm planning to send an email to the director's listserv just so everyone knows. I don't always see every single question or concern that are on there. So if you talk to anybody, or if you have specific concerns about certain workflows or anything like that, please submit them there, because that'll be the best way to kind of keep everything in one location and make sure that we're addressing any concern that any member library has. Does anybody have questions in general about the timeline, or any tips or updates or anything like that you would like to see happen on the IHLS level, I should ask? Okay. I did send them those delivery guidelines. It was that just that very small section there, which is item number 3 on those delivery guidelines that we're planning on implementing for the SHARE Consortium members. We're not planning on making a mandate. It's going to be just a recommendation for a specific placement. And then I know quite a few member libraries reached out to us as well, saying it's not a good idea to cover up that ISBN. Will you please make sure you include that as well? So we did go ahead and include that. And then with the rubber bands, we've been in contact with the vendor to confirm that they do not want us to use rubber bands at all. They said that what it does is it just kind of slows down the machine, and it can cause missorting to occur if rubber bands are used. So that is, we're going to recommend to eliminate the use. We do understand that a lot of libraries like to use it for those DVD cases, and I've reached out to a couple current users about that to just kind of see how that would work with rubber bands and not using them on those types of items. So does anybody have input or things that you would like to see added or changed or removed?
I have a question about the rubber bands. So by and large, I'm happy to see them disappear. There are sometimes occasions where a case is in the process of being transported or something, it breaks to the point where it needs some support to stay closed. How do you want to handle those situations?
Yeah, for now, obviously, we would like to recommend that you go ahead and replace that case if it's not able to stay closed. But we're working with the vendor to see if there's any other solutions, because when they just emailed me back, they said that we may be able to come up with some type of solution to allow some kind of rubber band to be used. But I don't want to guarantee anything until we've even talked about the solution, because he didn't say specifically in the email what it would be. So I don't want to make any guarantees about anything yet.
Sure. Who's the vendor you're going with, Colleen?
Linkso. So okay. Linkso was the vendor. They were the lowest okay. rate. And I will say that that was the vendor we were hoping to get. So we're very happy to hear that they were the lowest price, and that's who was selected. Because, and actually, Carol, you're on this committee. You can kind of speak up. I know that's who they have at Decatur. And I've heard really good things about the Linkso machines in general, as far as customer service and the reliability of the machines. So
I can definitely confirm that. I don't remember them telling us no to the rubber bands, like I mentioned the other day.
Yep.
I just noticed it slowed it down. Mm-hmm. But we've almost all but done away with rubber bands here. So it's very rare that it even happens.
And you haven't had issues with those CDs or DVD cases or anything opening when it's being sorted by the machine?
No. Okay. It's not a real, I mean, it's not super speedy. It's not like it whips them along at, 10 miles an hour or so.
Right.
But the rubber bands do slow it down a little bit. So,
okay.
Yeah. I don't like them either. They're messy.
Okay. Well, if anyone has anything that they'd like to talk to me individually about, or like I said, feel free to submit questions or concerns via that forms. That's very helpful to have those there. And reach out to me if you have questions about things. So,
great. Thank you so much, Colleen, for taking a moment to come and update the SHARE Executive Council about the plan and where we are in the project. I know for those of you that are on the director's list server on even the exchange, I think had gotten some comments. I think that it's any major project, there's a lot of concerns and a lot of factors that have to be taken into account. And so I appreciate everybody who's taken the surveys and participated in the working group and gave input through the share committee process as well. So I appreciate all of you supporting IHLS as we're kind of working through some of this, because it is going to be a major project. So
yeah, Major, I'll just piggyback just one more. I want to mention that, like, I have heard, like, some people have said to me, we feel like this is a one-way street. And I don't want members to think that at all. That is not our intention. We're not here to say, oh, you're doing this X, Y, Z. I want your feedback. And we can only make feedback and changes if we hear from you. So any step, I feel like, along the way, when members have reached out about things and it doesn't make sense, we have made changes. So a lot of steps along this way have changed based on feedback we have received. And please continue to reach out, because that is the best way to know if issues are occurring. So thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Colleen. So next up, we have our amendments policy. And this is just as a part of an effort share-wide that we're going through some of our policies and procedures and making sure that they still look good. And so I had sent you the amendments policy, and now I'm actually questioning myself if I sent you the amendments policy proposal with a proposed revision, or I just sent you the existing amendments policy.
Just the existing.
There. So let me share my screen so you can see the actual proposed changes. And I apologize that I sent you the wrong one. So this is the amendments with the proposed. There were just a comment that full members needed to be capitalized, since that is a specific type of membership and not just full members in it's a proper noun. And then the to clarify advance of the meeting, which is actually the members group meeting. So just really some clarifications in this policy. Did anyone else see anything that they think that should be changed in regards to any type of policy amendment or governance? Okay, well, hearing no discussion, then if you would like to accept those proposed changes, we can plan to send that to our next members group meeting, which usually happens in January, for an official recommendation to membership to make that change. I would entertain a motion to accept that amendments policy proposal with those changes.
I so move.
Thank you, Sherry. Deb. Thank you. Do we have
Kyla
a second?
Seconds.
Thank you, Kyla. Okay, we'll go ahead and do a roll call. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Deb Sherrick?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
Sandy West?
Yes.
And Carol Zeese?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And do we have any other new business? Okay, hearing none, do we have any other old business? Okay, then I will go ahead and turn it over to Ellen Poppett for the IHLS Library System Report.
You caught me off guard, Cassandra, but I'm ready. It's good to see all of you this afternoon. Not too much to report on the system front. The board successfully approved our system area and per capita grant, which went into the state library at the tail end of May. And so that contains our operational plan and our budget for FY 2005. And on that plan, aside from when we're talking major projects, aside from talking about the automatic materials handler, there's also a plan in there to work on a new strategic plan for the system, which is really exciting. You know, after the years of weird budgets, no budgets, COVID, it's really exciting to think about being at this point now and getting a a new look with fresh eyes. So that's really exciting information. One thing that I can share a little bit with you about today that's kind of been breaking news is that this morning the Secretary of State announced that 113 libraries in Illinois were eligible for technology grants. Mm-hmm. And we're going to send you out something way more official than me telling you this during this meeting, but I know Sarah's received an email about it already. And the recipients of this grant were based on need, based on poverty rates. So I don't know that we have any recipients in this meeting today, but it's a wonderful opportunity for some of our libraries that need it the most. So stay tuned to System Communications and we can fill you in with more details. That's really all I have. Does anybody have any questions for me? Okay, that's what I had, Cassandra.
Okay, thank you so much. So next up, we have the Share staff update. You might notice a new face among us today, John Kirchner with IHLS. So he is our new Share member engagement specialist. He is going to help facilitate a lot of our communications to membership, help with our committees. He also will be in charge a lot of our planning for outreach during conferences and other types of special events. So we are so glad to have John here to kind of get to know everybody on the committee. So I'll give him just a moment to say hi.
Hello. let me know if you need anything.
Great. Thank you so much, John. And so I do have two other brief share updates just to give you all a heads up that the first three cohorts for the Aspen project have gone live. And so we are so excited that we got that first phase of the project completed for everybody who reserved Aspen for fiscal year 2024. We're gearing up to start for fiscal 2025. Some of you might already be part of that project of getting information planned and ready for the different resources that you want included in Aspen. Just to clarify, everybody will have an Aspen instance available to them and set up. It's really up to each individual library if they want to utilize Aspen. And so, you know, making sure that your website is up to date with the new link. And so we're really excited about that next phase of the project. We're splitting the remaining libraries into four groups. So the public libraries will start going live over the summer, and then the school libraries will start going live in the fall. So again, that's like the schools and academics, and then publics and specials. So we've got everybody planned and ready to go. And then we've also had quite a few new transitional members. We'll be getting them set up in a later phase of the project. We're calling it Cohort 5. So Hillsborough Public Library, St. Elmo's Elementary School, and then we're bringing in all of the libraries for Iroquois CUSD 9 and Iroquois CUSD 10, including Danforth Elementary School, which is the most adorable, that it's a kindergarten library. So we're really excited to have them join Share. The other update that I had for you is in regards to the issues with texting. And so I know Dina has sent very strongly worded emails and phone calls because this has been a problem in the past. It was at one point technology issues that were causing problems. Now it is really more of the vendors are not playing nicely with us. And so it's specifically to Verizon for Verizon customers. And so I'm actually, if that's okay, if we kind of skip around a little bit, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Dina about switching people over to email. And maybe you can tell them a little bit more about that, if that would be okay, Dina.
Yeah, that's fine. I hope you all can hear me. Technology has not been my friend today. I'll just say that. Like Cassandra mentioned, we are having issues currently with Verizon sending out the text messages. When you look on the back end of things, Polaris is sending the messages out. The messages are going to the vendors. The vendor is not sending them out. We've looked into a couple different options as to why, how, you know, the who, what, where, when, and why. We think it's a matter of the number of text messages that we are sending out to those Verizon customers. Unfortunately, the process to get this changed is a little drawn out. And sadly, maybe going to cost some money, which we never like to hear. But we think that's probably where we're at. Our IT director, Troy Brown, is working with us very closely on this. We've met, but we're trying to find an end solution. About the only solution I have to give right now for those Verizon customers, I even tested it myself yesterday. I'm a Verizon customer down here in the South. We are Verizon land. Everybody is Verizon. I did not get my text message yesterday. One thing we're suggesting that libraries might consider doing for those Verizon customers as a temporary solution is to check with those patrons to see if they want to get email notifications instead of the text messages right for now. If your library, if it's an issue at your library, please contact me and I can send you a list of your patrons who have Verizon listed as their mobile phone carrier and who have signed up to get text messages from Verizon. And then either we can do a bulk change for email or you can do it as a one-on-one as you talk to the patrons and go from there. But sadly, that's all I have for that update. Like I said, we are working on it. I would bet Troy Brown has been on the phone today trying to figure out a solution for this. So please keep an eye on your email. We will be sending out updates. I know the share newsletter, I believe, goes out next week. I could be wrong about that. And there'll be some information in the newsletter as well.
Hey, Dina, I have a quick question. We have not had complaints. And now that you mentioned it, I noticed I haven't been getting messages. Does Verizon say that they can help us with fix this? Or is your anticipation that this is just, it's not going to happen?
Yeah, I don't think Verizon's going to help with it.
Okay. So it's a problem that is not going to get fixed.
Not only is it Verizon, it's also Spectrum Infinity, because that's also Verizon. They feed off the Verizon stuff. So it's affecting those patrons as well. Down here where I'm at, there's probably not a whole lot of library patrons that have that, because I know some carriers are more regional than others. But I took the way I understood things is that Verizon is, sorry, they're not going to.
If you classified the text message as a weather alert, I'm sure it would go through.
So I was kind of explaining it to my husband and, you know, just kind of like because I came home and it was one of those like, hey, how was your day today? And I'm like, oh, well, let me tell you. And he's like, well, you need to you guys need to be creative. He said, maybe you could do like some sort of your own Amber Alert, like instead of a lost child, it's like a lost book and maybe it'll go out. I'm like, we got to figure out something. So we've got our eyes on a couple of things that we're hoping we'll be able to pan out. One thing we're going to have to do most likely before we go to a third party vendor is upgrade Polaris, which was in the works anyway. We just may bump it up a month or two for that. So, which speaking of upgrading, I watched a webinar earlier for what's available in Polaris 7.6. Lots of good things, lots of fun things. So we'll be doing an upgrade probably sooner than later now that we're having the text issues. Do you want me to go ahead and do my other just like brief updates while I'm here, Cassandra?
Yep.
Okay. So as you guys know, the end of the school year has approached. And so we worked on getting all of that finalized, shutting down the schools. That is a multi-step process. So it takes a while to get through that and everybody has their own specialized dates. So we got through that with flying colors, which is always nice. I am in the very, very final stages of testing some permission changes that we're going to do for public library staff. Right now, public library staff, if you do a patron search, let's say for John Smith, you're going to see every John Smith at every shared library, whether they're at a grade school, a special library, an active, whatever the case may be. The part of the permission change will be just to protect patrons' privacy and confidentiality. That will be once the changes go in and everybody's permissions get changed. You will only see John Smiths when you do that search. You won't see any of the John Smiths that are at, let's say, one of the grade schools in O'Fallon. You'll only see them at the public libraries. We did a kind of a, I guess, a reverse of this last year at the schools. So currently, if you work at a school, you only see the students that are at your school or district, whatever the case may be. So we're working on that. Hopefully, within the next week or so, we'll start making those changes. I am really hoping that through the magic of an SQL, that change can be made in bulk. Otherwise, me and my staff will be going through every public library employee's permissions and doing it manually, which there's a lot. So, but we do what we have to do. It's no big deal. And I cannot remember if I was in the April meeting when we met last. I may have been on vacation, but we do have a new circulation trainer. Our previous circulation trainer, Zach, went over to our IT department. And so we had that position open. So if your library needs any circulation training, whether it be Polaris, LEAP, what refresher, you have a new staff, whatever the case may be, our new trainer, Andrea Sellers, is incredible. She can come to you. We can do it virtually, whatever your case is. We can do that if you want, you know, someone to come for a like a staff training day and just go over LEAP. If your library is making that transition, we can do that. You just have to let us know. And I think that's all I have on my list.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dina. Looks like Kyla, you have a question?
Yeah. So just to clarify, because I think I misinterpreted at first, and I just want to make sure I picked up and I'm on the same page now. With the changes coming to restrict the number of, or the types of patron accounts that we see, you are saying that we will still see all public patrons in our search. We just
want yes.
school patrons.
Yeah, you just won't see the school. The people who have, if their account, if their patron account, if they were registered at one of, at a school, like a grade school, you won't see those patrons.
What if for ILL purposes, we needed to pull up a school's account in Polaris?
A patron account?
Well, like if through, for ILL purposes, the school places requests on behalf of their patrons, and then they are in effect the patron. The school is in effect the patron.
So they would be one of our patrons, Dina. We might want to check on that because they're technically a patron of IHLS.
Yeah.
So make sure that they're still
showing. Yeah, IHLS stuff is still in there. Yeah. IHLS stuff is not blocked. Okay. So like you'd be able to pull up my account. That's not going to get blocked.
Okay.
Any other questions for Dina? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead. We'll just backtrack. And again, sorry, I skipped you, Jennifer. We were just on a flow. So I'll turn it over to Jennifer for bibliographic services updates.
Thanks, Cassie. No worries. I had a cat bugging me, so trying to get her calmed down. So the big issues, or I don't want to say issues, big things we have going on right now. It is the end of the fiscal year, so I am prepping all of the CE hour updates, hopefully to all go out tomorrow. So all certified catalogers have till June 30th to complete their hours, and the majority have already done it. So wonderful news. We are also working on getting ready for this upcoming fiscal years, prepping our trainings, kind of moving towards a system where we have it outlined for the full year and getting that online. So people are interested and kind of pick and choose what they want. We have made it all the way through the first round of barcoding refresher training, and we have started new. Those who were exempt the first time have started the process themselves now. They will have 3 months to complete that prior to the date they originally received their permissions. So they have been receiving emails at the beginning of each month. And that will be the new norm going forward. Other than that, I don't think we have anything major.
Okay. All right. And so one of the things I did want to note that you and Pam on our cataloging maintenance center, you have been working as part of a mentorship program as well. And so we'll try to remember to let the committee know for the next meeting, but we'll have, they'll be presenting on this program and doing some presentations at ILA. So we'll try to remember to let you guys know what that'll look like if you're going to ILA as well. Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. So we'll go ahead and move on to, unless there's any questions, we can go ahead and move on to share committee updates. And so unfortunately, Donna is not here today for the bibliographic services and cataloging standards. And I am so sorry, Jennifer, I did not think to warn you in advance. Do you, off the top of your head, I know adapter versus author versus adapter was a part of a discussion between manga and graphic novels. So that's still in discussion.
Yes.
And so there have been some tentative decisions, but we're going to be discussing it again at the next meeting. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yep. I have the minutes pulled up. I happen to look at the agenda. I'm like, I need to know that. Yeah. So yes, there, as everyone knows, that policy has been back and forth many times. We are hoping to come to a final decision next month, at least for the time being. We also talked about our unclaimed items policy. I have a large number of items sitting in my office that were sent to cataloging with no ownership markings on them whatsoever. So we are working on creating a policy where I receive them, I send them out on the director's listserv, they will go on our website, and then after 6 months, they would become available to any library who wants them. So we will have some that are well past that. So as soon as this is passed, they will be available. They go back to 2020. Three of us on the Share Bib Services staff are reviewing all of our policies and procedures. We are hoping to have that completed by December. So each Bib Standards meeting, we will have 7 to 10 policies that we reviewed. Hopefully the majority will need minor changes, but we're hoping to streamline them, make them easier and more understandable. The other thing we talked about was the on order record policy. We keep trying to tweak it and fine tune it so that it is easier for not only acquisitions libraries and all libraries in general, as well as patrons, to easily identify what's an on order record, what is not, when you can circulate it. We're also adding some teeth to the policy. So if a staff member at a library repeatedly circulates an on order records, for the first time, they will have their permissions removed until they complete the refresher training again, regardless of when they previously took it. After that, if they violate it again, and I want to say it's 3 times within 6 months, that second time they will have their permissions permanently removed. Because at that point, it is, you're doing it intentionally. So, yep, those were the big things and the graphic novels and manga.
All right, thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Okay, Sandy, do you want to give us an update for circulation and resource sharing?
It can be a very quick one because we didn't have a very lengthy meeting in April. The biggest thing that we had that we were going to be discussing and reviewing was circ status on display. And we had to actually table that after a little bit of a discussion because we couldn't all come together on what it really should look like and whether or not it was necessary to claim things, because it's very expensive to add things into Polaris as new used items for us to tag to. So it was making an opportunity to discuss whether or not there was one that nobody was utilizing as a circ status to change it, or if when there needs to be a discussion about membership getting involved to approve us to make a new one. And before we did that, we asked for the shared administrative services supervisor to find us more information. So we tabled it until our next meeting, which is next week. So we'll see what we have after that.
All right. Thank you so much. Miranda, you're the Finance and Policy Committee meeting.
So since our last meeting, we did meet in May. Basically, we went over the finances like we always do for April, and also the 2025 budget, which had not yet been approved because they haven't had their board meeting as of this date. 98% of billing had been collected, so that was great. And we had received $58,177 from the reserve fund interest, which is awesome. We have a new committee member. His name is John Howard. I think he's from Mahomet, right, Sandra? Okay, cool. And of course, we had an update on the AMH project. And we also had the share annual metric that we wanted to cover. Basically, the year-end summary, everyone wants some kind of way to talk to their board about the value of share since prices have gone up. So we had a discussion about what that might look like. And we talked about the amendment policy, which obviously we talked about again today. And then we selected a new chair, which is Betsy Mahoney. And she's here today to see how we do this meeting. That's it.
Great. Thank you so much, Miranda. I will note that since that meeting, we had brought up having like this annual summary. We do complete portions of the annual report for IHLS and all of our details for resource sharing, including our continuing education. But there have been times in the past where we've sent out like an infographic to membership. And so we do usually have that around the time for members group meetings. And so I think that it's going to be like one report that's going to be consistently used throughout the year. But the committee, I actually want to just give some applause to the Finance and Policy Committee because they had a fantastic idea of including that annual, that visual annual report, that infographic, as part of our annual agreements next year. So we send you this information of this is what you're going to pay, but the second page is going to be this is why you're paying this and this is why it's so expensive. And so I actually had a meeting, fortunate enough to have a meeting with Carol, our communications and advocacy person today. And so we were just brainstorming the methodology of how we're going to get this out to all of our members, as well as the things that can be included and the things that I hadn't even thought of like, you know, what does your membership fee actually go to? So having some visual representation of what it's being used for is also a great idea that she had. So we're definitely working on that. So we're excited about that process. Okay. Next up, we have Kyla with the e-resources committee.
Very short update. We have not had a meeting.
Okay. And so we actually, in addition to Kyla, we also have another member that also has stepped down. We have had one volunteer that is going to be taking, one volunteer that actually reached out in regards to the e-resources opening. We've actually got three. So we have one person that reached out with interest when it was announced, one person that was interested in another committee that I asked her if she'd be interested and she has agreed. So we now just have one more opening for that committee. So if you know anyone, it's going to go out in the newsletter again, but please, you know, if you have anybody that you think that might be a good fit, just let them know that we are looking for someone. So, okay. Next up, we have public comment. Do we have any comments? And any announcements? Okay, hearing none. Our next meeting will be Thursday, August 8th at 2 p.m. And so, Carol, this next piece, I always say, just say the magic words so you can say there being no okay. further business. We can adjourn this meeting.
With no further business, we can adjourn this meeting at 2:50 p.m.
Okay. And I'd like to just again sincerely thank everyone who this is their last meeting, all the hard work and the years of service that you've put in for the SHARE committee and really making SHARE work so well for our members. So thank you so much for all of your thoughtfulness and support and work on this committee. It's very much greatly appreciated. So
thank you, Cassandra, and you're part of why you make it so easy for us. So thank you.
All right. Well, I hope everybody has a great afternoon, and I will be in touch. I'm sure I'll be talking to all of you soon.
Have a good one, everyone.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.